I appreciate the humble prayer Brother Tim offered up for us. And as you were praying, you prayed for those traveling. I forgot to mention that your wife, Betty, is coming back from Fort Worth today. Is that correct? Traveling back from Arkansas. Okay. All right, so let's keep them in our prayers. We just sang number 27. I love these songs that have a sermon in them. Most all of them do if you look at it and pay attention to them. I'm just going to, let's go back through the words of number 27. How lovely the place where the Savior appears. Isn't that lovely? How lovely the place where the Savior appears. To those who believe in His Word. His presence disperses my sorrows and fears and bids me rejoice in my Lord. The poet here, I'm sure, was talking about the coming together of the church of God and His churches and congregations, but it's not the only place that the Lord appears, but it's a beautiful thing to Him coming to the Lord's house, and the Lord's people are there, and together they're raising up praises. He says, one day in His courts than a thousand beside is better and lovelier far. He'd rather spend a day in praising the Lord than a thousand days somewhere else. My soul hates the place where the wicked reside, and all their delights I abhor. Lord, give me a place with the humblest of saints, for lo, at Thy feet I would lie. I know that Thou hearest my feeble complaints. Thou hearest the young raven's cry. Lord, give me a place among the saints of the Lord. Low at Thy feet I would lie. I know Thou hearest my feeble complaints. Thou hearest the young raven's cry. Give strength to the souls that now wait upon Thee. O come in Thy chariot of love from earth's vain enchantments. Oh, help us to flee. Do you have any vain enchantments on this earth? Are there things of this world that are enticing you that you have to try your best to avoid? Help us to flee and set our affections above. Set our desires and our affections on things that are above, not things of this world. You know, if we desire anything on this earth, and we put that above our Lord and Savior, that's idolatry. You're putting something in front of Him. It's like worshiping idols. That's idolatry. Wonderful song. And my thoughts this morning have been on prayer. We're told, I'm trying a new system. I got me a little journal here that I'm trying to write down as I come across things, trying to write them down. I've been writing them on pieces of paper, and pieces of paper, they just get scattered here and there. And I said, well, if I had a nice journal with nice pages on it, then I could put my thoughts down there, and maybe I wouldn't sound such a blubbering idiot when I get up here. But continue to pray for me. But I think it's in 1 Thessalonians. Thessalonians right after Philippians, yes. And let's see if my notes are going to do me good here. I wanted to look at the fifth chapter real quick. There's something I want to pull out of here. The 16th verse and the 17th verse are real short verses. The 16th verse of the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, everybody found that? Rejoice evermore. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Rejoice when, now, and evermore. From now on. Rejoice. What are we rejoicing in? We're rejoicing in the salvation of our Lord. But it's the next verse that kind of hit me pretty strong. It's the 17th verse. Pray without ceasing. That's hard to do. To pray without ceasing. Have you ever thought about that? And I know that the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Lord, offers up our groanings and our desires and our prayer, and he's able to do that without ceasing, but it's admonishing us as who we are on this earth to just pray without ceasing. Now, you can't kneel down and pray all the time because you got things to do, but in your mind, I got to thinking, how do we pray? When we come to church, it's formal. We pray formally here. But as you're driving down the highway, you can pray. Can you pray as you're driving down the highway? Can you pray that the Lord will give you safe passage? Can you pray that he'll give you the proper desire to serve his name and to praise him? Can you pray for your brothers and your sisters and your family? Prayer's been on my mind, and to pray without ceasing. And this church, our church here, we need to pray without ceasing. What do we need to pray for? We need to pray for the blessings of the Lord. We need to pray for his power to come down amongst us. I pray for his children out here in the world that are not here, that need this love and this joy that we get to rejoice in. Brother James mentioned to me this morning about a friend of his in his car club. And he said that I'm going to ask him to try to get him to come to church sometime because he's a good old boy, I think is what he said. And I said, well, get him in here. And he said, well, one thing I say about him is that if it ain't the King James Bible, he don't want anything to do with it. He's that grounded in the truth of the Lord. Now, something has told him that. He's had some comfort from reading the King James Bible. And I mentioned this to Brenda, and she mentioned the fact, well, sometimes it's hard to understand. It's like reading Shakespeare. And I made the comment to her that I'm actually studying a thing right now that proves that the King James Version is the authentic translation, and it also proves that it wasn't the King's English, as people say. I don't understand the King English. They didn't talk that way in the 1600s in England. Well, what's with the these and the thous and the thines and the yous and the yees, which is their biggest objection most people have, and I'm not prepared to go into that right now. But one thing I want you to do as we get ready for that here in the next few weeks, in your Bible, preface to the King James Version, in the beginning of the Bible, those that were commissioned to translate the Word of God into the English language, they had a decree to King James about what they had done, and it's not real long, but I'm going to read just a little bit of this and see if it sounds like English you can't understand, you know? And this is the translators speaking as they spoke in that time, and they were writing to King James. Great and manifold were the blessings, most dread sovereign, which Almighty God, the Father of all mercies, bestowed upon us, the people of England, when he sent your majesty's royal person to rule and reign over us. For whereas it was the exception of many who wished not well unto our Zion, that upon the setting of that bright star, Queen Elizabeth of most happy memory. Anyway, it goes on and on and on. And this sounds like something somebody wrote today. You know, they're polished in their English, It's proper English. These were well-educated men that that wrote this. So, anyway, that being said, we're told to pray without ceasing, and I hope you're praying right now in your mind. But I think we as Midland Church need to pray. And let's pray right now. Y'all bow with me. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you with much fear and much rejoicing this morning. We're thankful for the love of thy Son Jesus. We're thankful for the things that we've been given, that we had nothing to do of ourselves to gain the grace and the love of thy Savior. Lord, we're told to pray without ceasing, and as I thought about this today, I realized that we don't pray enough. I know it's hard to pray without ceasing. We can't publicly pray without ceasing, but I think the scripture is telling us, keep your mind and your thought on above, on you, upon your throne, upon the heavenly things. And we're instructed to do that. We ask, Lord, that you give us the strength to consider you in every act, every deed, every word as we travel through this world. We pray, Lord, that you give us the strength and the understanding to know and to do these things. We ask, Lord, that you inspire us to pray for each other and to hold up our brothers above ourselves. Give us strength and understanding of thy word. We're thankful that we can bow down before thy throne and pray to you. And we have the understanding and the knowledge and the confidence that our prayers are heard. We're thankful, Lord, for your salvation. We're thankful you did for us on that cross of Calvary what we could not do for ourselves. And if it was left up to us, we would all be lost eternally. But we know whom we have believed, and we are persuaded that you're able to keep us together until that day. We ask that you guide our steps and show us the things that you would have us to do. And give us grace that we may go in and out among thy people in a more perfect way. We ask all these things in the name of thy grand and glorious Son, Jesus Christ. And amen. Brother James, would you pray also for us? Amen. Brother Pete, would you pray for us?
Lord, give us the understanding of the word of the Bible that you have given us, that we might try to understand and believe and be doctrines set forth in this book. Learn to accept it. Accept it, we pray. Understand, we are only human. We have desires to keeper, we know we just pray that we have the chance and opportunities to glorify you in our ways we live, the ways we do, and in our church and in our families. These things ask in thy name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Pete. Brother Chris, can you pray for us?
Sure can. Dear Lord and our Heavenly Father, thank you for our day today. Please bless our pastor as he goes forth and brings us the gospel and the news. Father, we pray for all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir, brother.
Dear God, I just want to pray for our church and that you just watch over the ones that are sick and ill, that you heal them, and that everybody in this church will grow and be more people coming to church and get to know you, Lord. And I also want to pray for, you know, we have able to confess our sins and be rejoiced in you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Very good. Thank you. He prayed that we be able to confess our sins one to another. We are to confess our sins. We're not to hold it back. You know, it's a hard thing to do. When you confess your sins to your brethren, you humble yourselves. How do you tell your brethren about your sins? How do you, you'd rather say, I don't sin. I'm good like the Pharisees, but confessing your sins one to another is a hard thing to do. Thank you for that. The 107th Psalm. And y'all forgive me this morning. I know I appear quite emotional. I sat right there about 8:45 this morning and asked the Lord. He said, Lord, take this from me. I'm not the one that should be doing this. I'm not able to stand in front of your people. I'm not able to be up here. I'm weak. I'm vile. I'm a sinner. If it be thy will, Lord, take it from me. And if you can't do that, put your words on my lips. Put your words in my heart. Do it for me. May the Holy Ghost come upon me, and may I give to these people what you would have them to have. Either way, take it away from me or give me the words. I don't know if he's going to do either one. Brother James made another thing. I mentioned you twice now, but that's okay. We get to talk in the mornings. Sometime the Lord brings you way down. He brings you down so you can be sure you know who you are and how low you are and how pitiful you would be without the salvation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The 107th Psalm. First verse. I wish I didn't have allergies. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. How long is his mercy going to last? Forever. His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. If you're the redeemed of the Lord, say so. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be worrying about this world that they're going to laugh at you and criticize you. Say so. I'm redeemed. Well, what are you talking about? My Lord and Savior, my Redeemer, has saved me from my iniquity and from my sins. And gather them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. He said, let the redeemed say so, and let's all come together. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. They're in the wilderness. The redeemed of the Lord, they're out there in the wilderness right now. They're not finding a place to live. Just brought Brother James's friend. He can't find the church that he wants to be. He's not able to find solace in anything. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainteth in them. Now, David, who wrote this psalm, he's talking about what was going on back in the days, the Israelites, but he's talking about the Lord's people here too. He's talking about us. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. How did they cry unto the Lord? They prayed unto the Lord, that's right. Crying unto the Lord is the same as prayer, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Do you believe he would do that? You believe that? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. I'm redeemed, you know. we don't have it. Excuse me, I'm going to stop right there. And he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. Now, David, he wrote this eighth verse. Something unique about this, and you'll see it here in a minute after we go continue to read. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Isn't that our desire today? Don't we desire that men would praise his name, would honor him, would give him what it's due for his marvelous works? But they're not out there doing that. They think they got to insert themselves in the situation. They got to, there's good people, children of God, that are not seeing the light. They're not understanding. And I know it's up to the Lord to give them light or not to. Ninth verse, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. He will satisfy the longing soul. If you're longing for whatever you're praying for, if you're offering it up to him in spirit and in truth, he's going to satisfy you. Now, don't go praying for $1 million because he's probably not going to do that. He's going to give you what you need. And he knows what we need, and he knows what our desires are before we even ask him. You know that? Lord can answer prayers before you ask them. I've told you the story of my father about his prayer being answered before he asked it. I'll just give you a little short summation. he wasn't sure if he needed to be serving the church full time. He thought it was a burden on the church. And he was having trouble making all ends meet. And so my mother said, what are we going to do? Well, he said, I don't know. And he come down here to the church, this building right here. And he sat down and he prayed. He prayed to the Lord. Said, Lord, show me what you would have me to be doing. Do I need to get up and get a job? Do I need to go out here and sell cars? Do I need to start fixing TVs again? What do I need to do? What would you have me to do? I can't pay these bills. Help me, Lord, help me. And I know that's what he prayed because he's preached it from this pulpit on several occasions. He goes back home and he's just drained, tired, and weary from pouring his heart out to the Lord. Lord, I can't speak. So he laid down in his bedroom, was going to sleep. And well, the mailman came. I'll try to shorten this up. I've told this before many times. Mother went to the mailbox, opened up a letter, and she was just amazed. She ran back down the hall, said, Elvis, Elvis. Y'all know his name was Elvis, didn't you? He was Elvis. He was Elvis before Elvis was Elvis. Said, Elvis, Elvis, you got to wake up. You got to see this. He got himself together. He looked at the letter, and Mother had already read it. He said, Dear Elder Barrington, it was from a church in California. We've heard about your labors and what you're trying to do, serving the church full time, serving the Lord. We feel like you're doing the right thing, and we want to send you this donation to help you along your way. But it was enough money to pay all them bills he was worried about. Well, the thing about it, he'd prayed about an hour or two before. That letter was written 4 days ago in California. The Lord answers your prayers before you pray them. So you need to go ahead, you need to pray them. He can't answer them if you don't pray them, you know what I mean? So you need to pray continually, praying always. Praying for what? Praying for grace, praying for mercy. Mercy from your sins, salvation from your sin, not eternal salvation, but feeling relieved about the sins, the bad things that you've done in your life. He's forgiven you, and that's a great thing. isn't it a wonderful feeling when you've offended somebody or you hurt their feelings or your husband and wife get in an argument and you realize, well, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. And you apologize. You ask for forgiveness. And they give you forgiveness. Isn't that a wonderful thing when you get forgiveness for doing something? They don't have to, do they? It's a wonderful thing. Now let's flip the page over here. Well, my page was would be flipped over, but let's go on down in the 109th Psalm. Hundred and seventh. I'd flip two pages. The eighth verse was, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works in the children of the men." Well, look at the 15th verse. It says the same thing. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." He repeats it again. Well, he mentioned other things that were happening. He brought down in 12th verse, "He brought down their hearts with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses." Then they cried unto the Lord. Did they cry over here before the 6th verse? Look at there. 6th verse. "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses." Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Over here, 13th verse. "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadows of death and broke their bands asunder." Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. "For He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder." And then it goes on. "Fools, because of their transgression and because their iniquities are afflicted, their soul abhorred all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death." What? "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." He sent His word. What was His word? It was Jesus Christ, you know. "He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their distresses." And what does it say next? "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declaring His works with rejoicing." Let's continue to read. 23rd verse. "Then that go down to the sea and ships that do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble." There's a big storm. The waves are up and down. Did you hear a story like that in the New Testament? This is prophecy of what's going to happen to the apostles. "They reel to and fro and staggered like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm to calm so that the waves thereof are still." What did Christ say? "Peace, be still." "Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven." The next thing they knew, they were on the shore where they were going. 31st verse. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Brothers and sisters, oh, that we would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, that we would praise His holy name. Continue. Oh, that we would pray without ceasing. I'm asking you today to pray without ceasing. You don't have to do it formally, but I want you to continually. You know, we sing a song. "Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray?" You know, when you tell somebody, if I say, Brother Tim, I'm going to pray for you, do you actually do it? Do you consciously lift up Brother Tim in your mind and in your prayers? No, we don't. Maybe sometimes we will. But let's don't be that way anymore. If you tell somebody you're going to pray for them, let's get down on our knees or in our heart and in our soul. Let us pray for each other. Pray that Brother Kendall's son, his name left Jonathan, pray that he be healed. It seems like the Lord's working a good work in him. Pray that he'll get his much wanted health back. Pray for this church. Pray that the Lord will bring laborers in amongst us. We need people. We need people to come in here and worship the Lord with us. We need a strong pastor that would move to Midland and live here. Why do we need a pastor to live here? Because on Tuesday night when you go to the hospital, you want your pastor to come and be there and hold your hand and be with you. Or come visit you or go see the sick. And go visit the widows and the orphans and be here for counseling. If family has problems or spiritual problems, our pastor needs to be there to take care of that. I know that I may be asking way too much. We have a shortage of ministers out here. But let's pray. Pray for this church. Pray that the Lord will continue to guide us, will bless us. We're thankful for the ones that come here. I'm thankful for these four on the front row that got up this morning and wanted to be in the church of the Lord. Chris and JP, thank you for bringing your friends. Glad to have you, and you're welcome again. Continually pray. Thank the Lord for the blessings, for his salvation. He did for us what we were unable to do. You know, people want to confront me sometimes about our doctrine and about our beliefs, and they just can't seem to get their head around it. Don't you have to accept it? Don't you have to receive it? Let me ask you this. Did it rain last night?
Yes, it rained last night.
Did y'all receive any rain?
We got some at our house.
Brother James, did you receive any rain last night? Yeah. Deborah, you ever receive any rain? What did you have to do with it? You received it and you didn't have a daggum thing to do with it, did you? Think about that, huh? You might have prayed for rain, but you received it not on behalf of what you did. It was there. If a guy walked up to you and said, I'm mad at you, and he puts dots your eye, blacks your eye, you know, you receive a black eye. Did you ask him, say, now, I'd like to receive and accept that black eye. I'm going to put my eye out here right now, and I want you to go ahead and hit me, you know. Did you make that happen? No, it happened. Anyway, thank you for your love, for your kindness, your fellowship, your prayers. I appreciate the men this morning that offered up their prayers. Brother Chris, do you have a song that we can sing so we can exchange the right hand of fellowship one with another?
How about number 444?
Well, what be that?
Thy way, not mine, O Lord.
Okay. Well, let's sing number 444.